Today's a special episode for me because I'm talking with Paul Chapa, the founder of Phish, Friends in Service of Heroes. Paul's a neighbor of mine. He's also a true friend and a great American who's serving our nation's heroes and their families by providing track chairs, service dogs, and so much more. Coming up next, I'm Veteran on the Move.
Welcome to Veteran on the Move. If you're a veteran in transition, an entrepreneur wannabe, or someone still stuck in that J-O-B trying to escape, this podcast is dedicated to your success. And now, your host, Joe Crane.
The Cohen Clinics provide counseling for post-9/11 veterans and their families, regardless of discharge status, at no to low cost. Many of the staff are veterans themselves. Learn more about how Cohen Veterans Network can help you make it back to better at veteranonthemove.com/Cohen. Paul Chapa, welcome to Veteran on the Move. Before we get to talking about Friends in Service of Heroes and some of the great things you're doing to serve our nation's heroes and veterans, take us back and tell us a little bit about your background.
You bet. Well, Joe, first of all, thanks for having me on. It's honored to be on your show and having the opportunity to speak to our vets. Joe, I'm in the food business, man. And, you know, just to make sure your audience understands, I never did serve in the military, never even served in Dagenham Boy Scouts. But here I am, I'm a food guy, and 9/11 happens. And I just felt like, you know, I needed to do something. I remember, thinking about all my family and friends serving in the military and what they must be going through as our nation's under attack. And little did I know that 3 days later, a distant family member of ours, Rosemarie Chapa, had been one of those victims at the Pentagon that day. And so, you know, I decided to, you know, there's got to be something I can do. And here I am. I'm in the food industry. And Joe, what I know about our troops is, man, they all love to eat.
So I just, you got to believe right? that.
So I decided right then and there that I was going to, you know, find a way to let our troops know that we love them, that we appreciate them by feeding them. And it so happened, I'd just been invited to my first ever Marine Corps ball by a guy by the name of Colonel Marshall Denny, who at the time was the commander at MATSAC 22 down in Corpus Christi, Texas. And so my wife and I, Leslie, we headed down there for that first ball. And at our table was a general by the name of John Dog Davis. I always loved these call signs, Dog and Hooker and Cowboy and Snooze, you know, the list goes on. But I out of the blue threw out, "Hey, General, I got a great idea." "Well, what is it, Paul?" "How about myself and a friend of mine that's a famous chef come out to your house? We cook a fancy dinner." And, oh, I love the sound of that. Just then I felt my wife's hand on my knee and she was starting to claw me. I'm like, "Oh no." And you know my wife, you know how she thinks, and you know how I think, and so she knew I was up to something.
She's the reasonable one.
Yeah, exactly. So he said, "Well, what do you need from me?" "Well, this is what I'd like to do. I'll bring this TV chef with me, and you invite enlisted Marines and corpsmen and their spouses, and we'll make it a great celebration for them." And everyone around the table, General Davis and Joe Galloway was at our table, and you know, all these folks are staring at one another. And finally the general says, "Paul, love to do it, but you know, there's just one problem." "What's that?" "Sensitivity of the home. What they might see or hear. Next thing you know, it's in the news and all hell breaks loose." So, you know, I appreciate the thought, but I don't think we could allow that. "I've got an enlisted aide and that's it for enlisted people at the general's quarters." And I went, "Well, sir, I think it'd be a great way for our industry to say thank you. And, you know, and just let them know how grateful we are for their service and sacrifice." And Carol Davis's wife said, "Well, who's the chef?" I went, "Rick Tarantino." And she looked at the general, and the general had his head down. He said, "Paul, talk to the boss and see what he says." And the boss being at the time Commandant John Amos. And 3 minutes later, you know, we had the approval from the Commandant. And so since that time, our first dinner was in January of 2011. And Chef Rick Tarantino has done the MVP dinner for years, and he has missed two of those dinners since, and we've done 21 dinners across the country for our enlisted active duty Marines and sailors and Air Force, and we've hosted some dinners for the Army, and haven't had the privilege to do anything for the Air Force, but Coast Guard, but we've covered everybody. So it was after one of those dinners in 2013 when General Glenn Walters was the commander at Cherry Point, that after all the young Marines and sailors and spouses left, we went outside to have a traditional cigar and scotch. And you know how I love my cigar. So I was enjoying my cigar, but I noticed that there was just something not right. There was a melancholy tone in the air. And finally asked the general what was going on, because he had been a little quiet during the dinner and found out he'd lost some Marines that day in Afghanistan. He said something that the reason why Fish was born. He said, you know, unless you have a son or daughter serving in uniform, America's not at war. No one's going to know about these three Marines except their family, fellow Marines, and maybe a handful of friends, because America's not at war. They're at the mall. And it was that statement right there that just pierced my chest, and the chest of those that had joined me that night, some friends from the food industry, that, you know, we're done. We said, you know, hey, we're not at the mall. We're here because we love our Marines. We love our military. We want to know about these soldiers, about these Marines. And we left about 30 minutes later. And after we left, we went around the corner to BOQ. And it was at 2:30 in the morning that the ideals of Fish were born. At the time, we called it Food Industry Serving Heroes. But now we've rebranded to Friends and Servicing Heroes, because it's not just the food industry that's engaged and involved with helping us support our troops in active duty and our veterans and their families with, you know, not just feeding them food, but track chairs and service dogs and helping them get out of their situations, helping them find jobs. We're building a house in Basler, Kansas this year. And, you know, our whole edict has been, you know, we don't want to put a Band-Aid on a problem here. We don't want to just feed a man a fish. We want to teach him to fish. So that's kind of the whole essence of what Fish is all about. We've got all kinds of fish stories that would blow your mind. And you know a lot of these stories, Joe. You've seen them in action. And so, you know, for somebody that didn't serve, for somebody that, heck, I wasn't even on student council, you know, to start this nonprofit, I tell you, it's just been a blessing, but there's a lot of challenges that come along with it. I know a lot of vets are always talking about starting nonprofits, but they got to be, you know, careful what they wish. You know, they want to do good, but man, there's so many things that come along with it that they need to be prepared for those kind of things.
Yeah, so, you know, what a phenomenal story. And I'm glad you brought up the fact that FISH used to stand for Food Industry Serving Heroes, because oftentimes in this entrepreneurial game, we get so hung up on, what am I going to call it? You know, like if I call it my business one thing, it'll be a success. If I call it something else, it'll be a failure. And that's not really the case. You know, a name is just a name. And, you know, if you're struggling with the name of your product or the name of your business, just pick something, you know, put some effort into it, of course, but and then move on past it. And you, like you did, you can always change it later. And I do believe Friends in Service of Heroes is a much better sounding name, but the previous name really never really slowed you down. So glad you pointed that out. And you're right. We do love to eat. Like we say in the Marine Corps, chow is continuous. If you can keep the flow of food going, you can keep the fight going. So it's a good play on words. So talk us through a little bit of the mechanics of, no kidding, starting a nonprofit, because just a couple weeks ago, matter of fact, I'll try to look up his name while we're talking here, but I got an email from a fellow Marine out in Yuma, Arizona, Harrier guy. And he started this phenomenal running club. And he wanted to know the ins and outs, and that I might be able to provide some advice to him on starting a nonprofit. So talk to us about the good, the bad, and the ugly of not only starting a nonprofit, but running a nonprofit.
Right. Well, my gosh, the first thing, you got to be fully committed to it. You know, I mean, if you get it stuck in the analysis process, you're never going to get it off the ground. But you also have to have in your mind the reason why you're doing this. If it becomes about you, and this is what I've told my board members and everyone involved, you know, with Fish, if this becomes about you, then we're done. We're sunk, because this is not us. It's about them, and who them is, depending on what it is that you're looking at, that's what you've really got to focus on. Because if you're going into this because you want to, seriously, I've heard it before, Joe, look, you know, I understand there's a lot of money in the nonprofit world, and so I want to start a nonprofit because I can do this, I can do that. You know, it's a shame, and I assure there will be no success here, because the whole idea of for us, for Fish, is to make it a difference in people's lives. And it's not about us, it's about them. And that has been kind of the fuel to this whole, you know, this whole system of ours, because, you know, the folks that get involved with Fish immediately understand that, first of all, Paul's not getting paid. You know, none of the board guys are getting paid. It's not about the money. It's about the service. And really, I've discovered at my age that it's taken me decades to understand this, that, you know, if you really want to be happy, you can't just focus about you. It's not about me. It's about them. And for us, Fish has been our vets, our families, our active duty. And, you know, you've got to, first of all, commit to it completely. And then get yourself surrounded with some positive people that understand your vision. If you can't communicate your vision, then you're just going to flounder. And, you know, for us, you know, this whole acronym FISH has just really been pretty doggone spot on and amazing, because, you know, how many times have you gone fishing and those fish in the water are just, they can't wait to get caught. They're just sitting there waiting for some fish guy to come by, throw the line in the water and pull them out, toss them in the boat. It doesn't happen. It does not happen. And it happens when we're out there fishing for a veteran or family, you know, a military family to serve. I mean, it takes good fishermen like you and others out there to help us find the right vet to serve, because the good ones, the ones that we want to help, aren't asking for help. They're not asking for help. We've had those that they've gone to everybody and their brother knocking on doors. Hey, I got this, I got that, I need this, I need that. And it's systematic, and it's really unfortunate, because the ones that really need it aren't the ones that are knocking on any doors. They're not the ones. They're the ones, in fact, Joe, that are saying, you know, I appreciate it, but give it to someone that really needs it. Well, wait a minute. You're missing both legs and an arm? And you're an outdoorsman? Don't you think this track chair is going to help? Come on. Come on. And by the way, it's too late, because on the back of this track chair, there's your patch. So I'm sorry. This is your track chair. In fact, we have a young man, Toby Montoya, out of Albuquerque, New Mexico, that, you know, kept telling us that. And when he saw that chair, it, you know, just brought, I think you were actually there, weren't you? I mean,
I was. I met Toby, and if I could jump in here real quick, dude, it brought tears to my eyes when he went up to the front of the group after the end of the golf tournament that day, and he said, because of this track chair, I was, for the first time in a long time, I was able to look another man in the eyes at his height and shake his hand.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it was one of those track chairs that stood him straight up.
Yeah. And that's what this is all about. This is what we call fishing. And this young man, I don't know if you know the rest of the story, Joe, but he went on to get a SAG card, SAG card as an actor. And he was on a TV show called, Night Shift. And on a couple of the episodes, there's Toby Montoya. The Toby that I met was, you know, scraggly beard, goatee, you know, wonderful guy, very bright. This guy is brilliant. But here he is on the show, clean cut in his army blues. And then, you know, they ended up decking out his track chair with camo and all kinds of stuff. The guy is moving forward. And so, you know, here's the fish that we caught and pulled him into the boat, and someone that we're so proud of, you know, because we see what he's doing. We see with the challenges that, you know, has taken place in his life, how he's been able to overcome them and move forward. That's a fish story that we'll be talking about for the rest of our lives. You know, and you think about, you know, again, getting back to the fishing, how many times have you reeled one in without a struggle, without a fight? You're not going to put that, you're not going to take that one home. You don't want that on your plate. Throw that one back in the water. Something wrong with it. So again, the ones that we're trying to find, the ones that we're trying to serve, are those that, you know, they're the ones that are going to tell you, I'm all right, sir. That whole mission, man, myself, give it to someone that really needs it. Boy, when we hear that kind of stuff, we look at each other and say, this is the one. This is the one. And so if you're going to be starting a nonprofit, regardless of what it is, you know, you got to have a full commitment to this. You got to understand this isn't about you. If it is about you, if it's in the back of your mind, guarantee it's going to fail. So don't even bother. Don't waste your time, and certainly don't waste your money. and the time of other people too. So, you know, make sure you're fully committed to it. Surround yourself with good quality people and that understand the process of what it's going to take. The time commitment, Joe, is it's there. It's there. And we all have jobs. Heck, I'm sitting right now in front of a company that I've got an appointment with because I still have to pay the bills. You know, still got to provide for my family. And so that has to be communicated to the people that are going to be involved with you too. And then, you know, make sure that you're always wearing the colors and it's not just, you know, wearing a shirt. It's about the way you communicate what this is about. It's got to be in your verbiage anywhere and everywhere that you are, because you know what they're seeing not just someone that, wants to, you know, help our troops with physical things, you know, with whether it be a house or a track chair or service dog, but also just wants to be there, wants them to know that, look, I'm here if you need someone to talk to, because I'll never forget the first Heroes Dinner that we did for the Marines. It was in Cherry Point, like I said, 2011. All these young Marines and corpsmen were coming in to the general's home, and each one of them kept saying, hey, sir, thank you for your time. Thank you so much. Thank you for your time, blah, blah. And afterwards, we're outside debriefing. I said, General Davis, man, I just felt kind of odd. All these young Marines and sailors and their wives and husbands saying thank you to me. I mean, no, this was about them. And they said, Paul, but they understand something that you've given that you can never get back, and that's your time. And so that took a while for it to sink in, because that's right. Once it's gone, it's gone. We're Absolutely. Not getting that back. We're not getting that back. And it hit me, Joe, that these young men and women that serve our country and put in this time, they're not going to get that back either.
Veterans and families of veterans, if you or a loved one is dealing with depression, anxiety, PTSD, or simply having trouble transitioning back to civilian life, you are not alone. The Stephen A. Cohen Military Family Clinics can help you make it back to better. Cohen Clinics provide counseling for post 9/11 veterans and their families, regardless of discharge status, at no to low cost. Many of the staff are veterans themselves. One retired Army veteran says, it's a positive thing. It's good for your family, good for your relationships. Everything's made easy. It's life-changing. A Marine Corps wife and caregiver says, caring for a combat veteran is tough. I'm back to being myself. Learn more about how Cohen Veterans Network can help you make it back to better at veteranonthemove.com/Cohen. Now we're back talking with Paul Chappa, the founder of FISH, Friends in Service of Heroes. And before the break, Paul, you were talking about one of the first Heroes Dinners that you were hosting out at Cherry Point, and you were so surprised at how appreciative were all the veterans, all the military folks. A lot of these guys were still on active duty at the time, and their spouses were of you giving them their your time. And the host had made a comment saying, well, you're giving them something you can't get back, and that's your time.
Right. Yeah, Joe, that really struck me, because, I was looking at the faces of these young people and their spouses, and, you know, I realized that here they're thanking me for my time, knowing I can't get that back. But you know, what 99% of us in this country don't understand, did not serve, do not understand, you know, is these sons and daughters, these young men and women, you know, they're 18, 19 years old, and whether they're in the service for 4 years or 30 years, there's time there that they're never going to get back. I mean, time that they've missed birthdays, they've missed, you know, weddings, the things that they've missed, they'll never get back. And so it was very humbling to me to hear that from these Marines at the time. And it's just something that I just wish more Americans understood that. And, you know, 9/11, it's been a while. And yet, you know, we're still losing men and women every day, you know, whether it's in combat, whether it's the suicide, you know, and that's something that America need to be mindful of, because it doesn't end when it's just when they take off that uniform. For many of them, taking off that uniform is when the struggle really begins, because there's no one there to do life with, you know, to be there when they're struggling. And, you know, it's so funny. I was at Camp Pendleton many years ago, and I was with Lieutenant General John Tulin, and he showed me a hill, MF Hill. You might recall that one. I'm like, holy cow, how did cars get up that? He's like, cars, hell, Marines. I went, wait a minute, how did Marines get up there? He said, the whole idea behind that hill is that you can't do it by yourself. You cannot do it by yourself. There's always going to be someone, you know, that's going to be encouraging you, grabbing you, pushing you, pulling you. Just sometimes that's the only way you, in most cases, that's the only way you're going to be able to get up that hill. And that is life. I mean, that is a great antidote. That's a great visual for life itself. I mean, we cannot do it by ourselves. And, you know, part of Fish's mission is letting people know that, look, you know, you may not need a chair. You may not need a service dog. I mean, our World War II vets and Korean War vets and Vietnam vets that we serve, you know, a lot of times they don't need anything, but what they appreciate from us, what they love about Fish is that we're willing to give them our time. I mean, we do every third Thursday. In fact, it's this Thursday night, Outlaw Cigar, the most patriotic place in Kansas City, 7 p.m., our monthly Fish speaker series, our way of getting vets off the couch, out of the house, and engaged. And, you know, we always have great speakers from generals to sports athletes. I mean, this Thursday night, it's going to be former Chiefs Dave Lindstrom, and we've got a congressman also attending. It's just the way, a great way to continue that engagement and let them know that the service mattered. And hey, you know, make some connections here. And you've attended, you've seen what that's all about. It's just, it's amazing.
Oh, yeah. Amazing, it's what great. Happened. Yeah, I've been to several of them. It's awesome. Hey, I wanted to, I think we kind of skipped past, we touched on a little bit, but one of the main things that you deliver with Fish, it's just kind of evolved, I think, with you over the years, is track chairs and service dogs. Do you want to touch on that a little bit?
Right. You know, we understand, we've all heard the number of veterans that, you know, are taking their lives each day. And, you know, that number is very real. And there's probably more we never hear about. But, you know, one of the things that we committed to do to doing is providing the vets that we serve with service dogs and therapy dogs. And I tell you, we call them, you know, angels with fur, because the way that they have impacted lives has just been absolutely unbelievable. So, you know, from a lot of these vets have traumatic brain injuries. Some of them have, you know, post-traumatic stress from that are combat related. And these dogs are able to sense when they're struggling. You know, they're able to sense when their anxiety is up. I mean, the ability for these dogs to smell that is just mind-boggling. So we've given away 20 dogs. In fact, we have one right now that we're testing. It's more of a therapy dog at the VA domiciliary in Leavenworth, Kansas. So if that goes off well, that's going to be extraordinary. Tonight I have a meeting with a company out of New York that's coming into town to meet with us for service dogs. They want to become one of our partners. So that is one of the things. Track chairs and the power chairs has been another incredible thing that Fish has been able to provide. You know, these track chairs are like mini tanks. And as you mentioned with Toby, I mean, they can stand up, they can go through just about anything. Just amazing. And for those vets that are avid outdoorsmen, I mean, whether you're recon Marine or a parajumper, I think that's what they're called, aren't they? Those Air Force guys, again, not being military.
Pararescue.
You know,
PJs.
The outdoors. Yeah, PJs. You know, these are the kind of things that they just love because they miss being able to be outdoors, you know, doing the things that they love. Well, this certainly will make a big difference in their lives. We got a young Marine up in northern Minnesota that sent me a letter. It's been a couple of years now that, you know, ever since he got that chair, him and his wife have been able to take some amazing walks in the woods. I'm like, oh my gosh, this guy Joe's missing both legs and an arm, and here he's sending me a letter how he takes his wife on walks in the woods. That wouldn't be possible without this chair, you know?
Yeah.
And then our World War II vets, Korean, Vietnam vets, we've given away a lot of those power scooters. Now, for a lot of them, they have hip issues, knee issues, and, you know, they're getting up there in age, and, you know, they miss being able to stay engaged. I mean, there was a story of one Marine that was in a nursing home, had the best view in the nursing home, and yet hadn't been outside in 2 years. And last year on Veterans Day, we surprised him with the power scooter, and he's hardly ever in this room anymore. That's what it's all about. That's the least that we can do. And, you know, these things, I mean, yeah, they cost a little money, but, you know, we've been really blessed because, I mean, we've taken in kids have brought in like jars of change. I mean, the monies that we receive since we don't have a grant writer, Joe, how can someone do what we've done for all these years, quietly, under the radar, you know, not breaking the surface, if you will, you know, kind of under the water. I mean, every now and then we bounce out and people see us, you know, we'll come out of the water, but it's pretty rare because we don't want people to think this is, you know, this isn't about, it's about our vets, you know, we're not, we're never going to exploit them. We're not going to put them, parade them around. They've been through enough. They've been through enough. So, you know, when we have an event, we let them know it's happening. If you want to be there, fine, great. But it's not a, you know, requirement because we did this or we did that. That's nonsense. That's not the way it should be.
Well, hey, Paul, know, but, I wanted to, I got a good segue for what I wanted to ask. I want to do a shout out to fellow Marine Mike Harris, who sent me an email a few weeks ago asking some questions about, you know, some advice on how to start up a nonprofit. He has started an organization called MRCA. It's called Marine Ultra Runners Club of America. And he asked a few questions. We chatted back and forth. And I gave him the good, the bad, and the ugly of starting a nonprofit. And one of the things I emphasized to him was, unfortunately, and depending on how you do it, if you start a nonprofit, you know, ultimately you're going to need money. And it depends on, you know, in order to do things. So unfortunately, you may end up spending the majority of your time fundraising. And that's really one of the things you're doing right now up at the T-Bone Stadium, is talking with organizations around Kansas City. Now, a lot of the fundraising process can be very fun, and you guys have done great with integrating fun into your fundraising activities. But a lot of people don't realize, like, hey, you have to go out and raise money. You got to have money to do things. You got to have money to buy track chairs. You got to have money to fund these service dogs. They don't come cheap. Can you talk a little bit about what it's like having to spend a lot of the majority of your time raising money, and specifically what you just mentioned about a grant writer, or what, or how you've managed to scrape by without having one, and the importance of having a grant writer if you're going to start a nonprofit?
Right. Yeah, Joe, that is so important. You know, when we started this thing, you know, the four guys that were there that night when Fish was born at the general's table there at Cherry Point, we all threw in a couple bucks and said, guys, this is a great start, but this is definitely not going to be enough. You know, this is not going to be enough. And, you know, we kind of wrote out our vision of what Fish needed, the things that we were going to do. And then started sharing that, communicating that with our friends at the time in the food industry. And people started stepping up. We want, you know, not everybody can do something, Joe, but everyone can do a little. You know, I can't do it all. I didn't say that correct. Not everybody can do it by themselves, but everybody can do a little bit of something, you know, and that's what happened. Everyone started chipping in a little bit here, a little bit there, and the vision started growing, and our vets started, you know, responding. And when people start seeing how this is making a difference in the veterans' lives, then they'll start stepping up. And, you know, the fundraisers, yes, we underline fund because it's important for people to understand that, you know, that these vets, we don't want them to be down and out, and we don't want to feel sorry for them. They don't want anybody to feel sorry for them. You know, we want to do fun stuff. That's like I said, I'm here at T-Bones Stadium in Kansas City, Kansas, because on the 28th, we're going to have a blue on black softball game, veterans against other veterans. And also many of them are police, fire, and EMTs. And we're going to have a good time, and hopefully raise some money to help build this house for a soldier. We're building an ADA certified home, and you know, a lot of the things for this house are being donated. A roof's being donated. The plumbing's being donated. So that's another great way that we've been able to bypass not having a grant writer, although we still want one, you know, to be able to accomplish the things that you know we need to accomplish for our troops and our vets. So, you know, for your friend out there that has created this great running club, you know, first of all, I tell him he's got to surround himself with some good people that understand the vision and the importance of this, and then communicate it to the community. Go out to, you know, your chamber meetings, go out to your Rotary meetings, hit your VFW, hit your American Legion, go out to all these places and let them know the importance of what it is that you're doing and how it's going to make a difference in the lives of those veterans and their families. And so that's, you know, that's what's so important. I mean, without these things, Fish would have been sunk a long time ago. That boat would have never left the dock.
Absolutely. Well, hey, Paul, we're getting close to the end of our time. how do we go fishing? In other words, how do we find fish? And I throw that out there because if somebody maybe in the Kansas City area or somewhere else either wants to help out, or if there's somebody like Mike who's interested in starting a nonprofit and maybe wants to spend a few minutes on the phone with you about, you know, a little bit of easy advice on how to get started in the nonprofit world, or I don't know if I know you typically don't actively try to, if somebody knows a service member out there that's in need.
Right.
I know you guys screen people pretty heavily, but you're always looking for somebody that might need a service dog or a track tear.
That's right.
How do we find fish?
Yeah. So online, our website is friendsandserviceofheroes.org, or you can just find us on Facebook, Friends and Service of Heroes. My number, if they want to reach me directly, is 913-481-5060, or they can email me at paul.chapa, C-H-A-P-A, at servingheroes.org. And again, anyone and everyone is a fisherman. You know, if they know of someone that is struggling and feel that we can make a difference, then we're on it. You know how we operate, Joe. I mean, we don't wait around for things to happen. We've got to be proactive. We also have a lot of great partners out there. I mean, there's an outfit out in California called Mighty Oaks that two people that we provided service dogs have gone through that program, and it's kind of an addiction program. It's faith based, and you know they're not him anymore. I mean, we have had 4 people go through that program, and you know, really glad to have a friendship like Mighty Oaks that's part of Fish. I mean, because we can't do it all. We don't provide counseling. We don't provide these kind of things. We don't have a property. We don't have a place to take them. Well, Mighty Oaks does in California and Ohio. I mean, we just had a young man come back from their Ohio facility and just came back completely changed. So, you know, there's a lot of other organizations out there that we're familiar with that we've screened to and feel very comfortable. If we can't help them, we'll send them there. And I think that's important for anyone that's starting a nonprofit to have those kind of relationships. And certainly it's been important for us.
All right, Paul. Well said. A great way to wrap it up. And so check out Fish if you're interested in getting involved. You want to find out what they're doing, helping out, especially if you're in the Kansas City area, which is where Fish is at and where we're at. And Paul actually lives in my neighborhood, so we get to watch him at a close distance and how him and Fish operate. And it's phenomenal to watch from a close-in distance. So, Paul, you're doing great things. Keep it going. We look forward to seeing
buddy,
your future
it,
success.
Joe.
All right. We're out.
All right. Take care.
As you can tell from listening to the Veteran on the Move podcast, interviews are a great way to tell your story and spread the word about your business. If you would like to get booked as a podcast guest, I recommend Interview Valet. You can check out Interview Valet at veteranonthemove.com/valet. Be sure to check out thrive15.com, the world's premier online education platform that helps entrepreneurs, aspiring entrepreneurs, and entrepreneurs learn how to start or grow a successful business. Start your free 30-day membership by going to thrive15.com and use the promo code VETERAN. Thank you for listening to Veteran on the Move, your pathfinder to freedom. If you like the show, leave us a review on iTunes. Reviews are always greatly appreciated. So until next time, this veteran is Oscar Mike.